We had a good service this morning, amen? A good service this morning. For those of you who were not here, the message was the things that we should be thankful for. The things we should be thankful for. And every month you have a different follow me and I will make you theme. And this month, Fellowship Baptist has follow me and I will make you thankful. It's the month of Thanksgiving. And so we talked about some of the things that we ought to be thankful for this morning. And some of the things was you ought to be thankful for your salvation and for the Bible and for blessings of the Lord and even trials that come your way and the blessed hope. And one of the things you ought to be thankful for was life. We are all here today. We're here tonight because we have life. Blood is flowing through our veins right now. We have a pulse, amen? People ask me all the time, Brother Dennis, how are you doing? I said, hey, I've got a pulse. I got up this morning, I checked my pulse, and I had one. I said, it's going to be a great day. But there are so many things we ought to be thankful for. And it reminds me, I must share this story probably once every 2 or 3 weeks. I'm a product of the 70s. I graduated from high school in 1974. And I love music. I listen to all different types of music. And there was a singer, a songwriter by the name of Warren Zevon from the 70s. How many have ever heard of Warren Zevon? For those of you who do not know who Warren Zevon is, Warren made his biggest hit was a song called Werewolves of London. And I'm sure you've heard it on a 70s radio station. But his biggest fan was David Letterman. And David Letterman would have Warren Zevon on his program twice a year, late night with David Letterman. And Warren wasn't feeling very well, and they misdiagnosed him. And to come to find out, he had a cancer that they did not catch in time, and Warren Zevon only had 2 or 3 months to live. True story. You can Google what I'm about to share, and you can watch the YouTube video. And Warren Zevon only had 2 or 3 months to live. And David Letterman brought him on his show. And he canceled all the rest of the guests. And he gave Warren Zevon the entire hour-long program. And within that hour-long program, Warren played all of his hits with Paul Schaefer and the band. And included Werewolves of London. And when he got done, he walked up to the desk of David Letterman. And he sat down on the chair next to David Letterman. And David Letterman says, Warren, you're a sick man. We've been watching the news and reading about your health situation. And Warren, it doesn't look good from what the news accounts we've read. Is there something in life, Warren, that you've learned about that you would like to share with the studio audience and the viewers at home tonight? Is there something about life that you've learned? He says, yeah, David, I'd like to share with the audience. And Warren paused for a moment, and then he said this. Enjoy every sandwich. And that was that. Enjoy every sandwich. And if you think about what those words were, if you Google enjoy every sandwich, you'll get to the YouTube video of the David Letterman Show with Warren Zevon. Think about it. That lunch you had today, I hope you savored it. I hope you, if you had a sandwich today, I hope you enjoyed it. That might be your last one. And the time you have with your family, the time you spent with the grandkids and the family today, savor it. You never know when that'll be your last day. And so we talked about asking God, just thanking God for all of the blessings he's given us. God is good, church. Amen. All the time, amen? All the time God is good. So we talked about the different types of blessings and what we need to be thankful for. And tonight, in the few minutes we have left, I want to show you how to live thankfully. We talked about what we should be thankful for in the morning service. We're going to see how to live thankfully tonight. Turn with me to the book of Colossians, the book of Colossians chapter 3, the book of Colossians chapter 3, And we're going to read verses 12 through 17. If you're there, Colossians chapter 3, in honor of God's word, would you stand with me, please? Just stand with me and read aloud with me. Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 12. Ready? Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with the grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in the word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time already we've spent together tonight. Lord, I pray that we would hear from heaven in these few minutes we have, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise and the glory. It's in your precious name we pray, and all God's people said, amen, amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's clear from this passage that thankfulness is supposed to be a regular part of our lives. I believe that gratefulness is emphasized here because it is a perfect antidote to pride and selfishness and a host of other sins. After all, what is the opposite of thankfulness? Things like complaining, griping, arguing, selfishness, a sense of entitlement. We're entitled to this. I deserve this life. I deserve a good life. Do you know what? If we really got what we deserve from God, it'd be total annihilation. If we really got what we deserve from God, we wouldn't even be here right now. And so, our sin nature wants to try and convince us that we deserve more and that we are in the right, that we have been taken advantage of, or that we really have it so bad. But you know what? We are all blessed here tonight. We are all very fortunate. Thank you very much. So, how do we live thankfully? Well, there's three areas of a Christian that I believe you live thankfully. Number one, you think thankfully. You think in your mind thankfully. Thinking thankfully involves three things. Number one, involves prayer. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. It reads, Philippians 4, 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. In this passage, the way in which we keep from anxiousness and worry is through prayer. I believe there's power in prayer. When we present our requests to God and give control over to Him, our load gets a whole lot lighter, doesn't it? Because we know God is now in control of this situation. We presented it to God. When we pray with thanksgiving, we are thanking God for the ability to pray. We are thanking Him for answering our prayers. We are thanking Him for freeing us from worry. I can't imagine how non-Christians and atheists handle adversity. They have no one to pray to. Our God is so big. Our God is so good. Our God is all-powerful. But if you don't know the Lord, if you don't believe in God, who do you go to? Man, I don't know how they handle adversity. So we think thankfully through prayer. Number two, we think thankfully through worship. Worship also has a way of putting us in a mindset of thankfulness. In Colossians 3:16, we read, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. It's hard to be grumpy and bitter when you're singing songs about the Lord in church. Do you ever notice that? Now, I travel all over the country, and there are people in churches, Brother Darrell, there are people in churches that, while I'm singing, and would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. There's people like, I dare you to bless me. They're like this, you know, grumpy look. They try hard. They really, really try hard to be grumpy in church. But music has a way of making you joyful in the Lord. That's why music is so, so, so important in church. Adam, you do a great job, brother. And I mean that. You do a great job. Music is so powerful. It's so important because it prepares the heart for the message that's to follow. And there are some churches that just don't get it. It's always dry, always slow, always sorrowful, always woe is me. And that's why I think it's vitally important to sing positive, up-tempo songs. They don't all have to be fast, but it's important. If you believe there's power in the blood of the Lamb, honey, you ought to praise the Lord, raise your hands and say amen. It's okay to get excited for the Lord while you're singing, amen? Amen, praise the Lord. Anyway, I could stay on that topic all night. But music prepares the heart. And now you can worship God outside of church as well. But I was driving my car about a year and a half ago, and I was passing, it was on I-75, and I was passing, and I looked, and there was a girl driving, and she was going, and I said, honey, keep your eyes open as you worship the Lord, okay? But she was worshiping the Lord in her car, and I'm thinking, she's holding church. The only thing she didn't have wasn't the time to take up the offering, amen? But she was worshiping God in church. So you can worship God anywhere. It doesn't have to be only in church. So you think thankfully through prayer and worship and music and then dwelling on the good. Our minds can sometimes be so uncooperative. They keep wandering back to that nagging money problem or the problems at work. And we tend to, even in church, I don't know about you, but sometimes my mind drifts. Am I the only one that happens to? No? I didn't think so. But our minds drift away from God, and so you need to constantly dwell on the good. Our flesh gravitates towards sin because our natural inclination gravitates toward evil. And so we see that thinking thankfully involves prayer, involves worship, dwelling on the good. Turn with me to Philippians 4:8 one more time. 4:8 says this. You don't have to turn there. I'll just say it. I'll read it. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, pure, lovely, of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Did your parents ever tell you? I know my mom and dad always told me, Dennis, garbage in, garbage out. So dwell on the good. And there's so much good to dwell on. Amen. There's so much we need. The glass should always be half full. So not only do you think thankfully, but you talk thankfully. You talk thankfully. It is important to express our gratitude from time to time, praising others. It's that you need to be an encouragement to others. Amen. Brother, did you enjoy that lunch?
I sure did.
You sure did? That burger platter, amen?
Amen,
amen? You came up to me and you told me that you went there today. That encouraged me. Amen. That told me that you didn't spend that $7 on lotto tickets, you know that? or cigarettes or whatever. But that encouraged me, brother. Amen. Brother Darrell, I love you, man.
Love you too.
I love you, brother. You've got a good memory and you remember all the things about my life. And that encouraged me, brother. I love you. Lydia, girl, Facebook friend, you promoted me today on Facebook, and you said, people, you got to come to my church tonight and hear this guy preach, hear him blow his horns. You weren't lying, were you?
No.
Okay. That encouraged me. Okay, that encouraged me. Praise others. Praise others. You make them feel good, and you make yourself feel good, too. Not only do you praise others, but most importantly, you praise God. You praise God. If you want to talk thankfully, you praise God. You know, it's okay when you go to McDonald's And they say, how are you doing this morning? Oh, I'm doing great, praise God. I mean, you don't have to shove a gospel tract down their throat. Just acknowledge God, praise God. Let them know that you have a relationship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen? Praise God. You praise others and you praise God. Listen, do you know what I figured out? If you're saved here tonight, this place, this world we live in, this is the worst that it gets. It gets better. But if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ, this is the best that it gets. It's only going to get worse. But if you're saved tonight, praise God. This is the worst that it gets. And so, to experience revival and a revival of thankfulness, you have to think thankfully. You have to talk thankfully by praising others and praising God, sharing our gratitude. It's important that you verbally tell others what you're grateful for, and not just church people, but others, the servicemen and women. Thank you, soldiers. Thank you, servicemen and women, for sacrificing your time and many of you, your lives for us. Share your gratitude. I have a friend who, her and her husband, their ministry, they live in Nashville, Tennessee, their ministry is buying dinner at a restaurant if they see a serviceman or a woman in uniform, or if they know that they were in the service, they'll tell the waitress to bring their check over. They've got it. That's their ministry, and it is a ministry. And then thirdly, not only do you think thankfully, not only do you talk thankfully, but you act thankfully. The last thing here is acting thankfully. We need to demonstrate a life of thankfulness in everything we do. And that begins with a heart of service. Service, serving is a demonstration of appreciation, respect, and love. It can be done in a selfish, in an unselfish and grateful way. But when it is done right, it is a blessing both to the server and the servee. Amen. Are you thankful for the area of service that God has called you to? Are you in an area of service? 1 Timothy 1:12. Turn with me to 1 Timothy quickly as we're about to close here. But 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 says this, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Putting me into, believe it or not, it's easy to get caught up in ministry. It's not about Dennis Guisdella. And to be truthful to you, I get a lot of people in my travels coming up to me saying, "Man, you're so good. Boy, you can preach, and brother, you can play those horns." And it's very easy to start getting a big head. But like I reminded all of us this morning, it's not about Dennis Guisdella. It's all about Jesus Christ. And God wants every one of us to serve him. I'm not saying you all need to quit your jobs and serve God full time. But God wants every one of us to do something for him. Amen. Something. You may say, "Brother Dennis, I'm not I can't sing, I can't play an instrument. I like to talk. I like to talk, and people have told me I have a good, firm handshake, but what could God use with me?" Brother, you could be the best greeter this church has ever had. But God wants every one of us who are saved to do something, something for him. It's the true 90% of the work in a church gets done by 10% of the people. But to act thankfully, you serve others. You sacrifice your time. And this is best demonstrated by financially sacrificing through your tithes and offerings. And so sacrificing your time. And then thirdly, sharing with others. This might take a form of sharing of some of our abundance with those who don't have as much. You know, when my kids were small, Joy and I, once a month we would make sandwiches for the Saginaw Rescue Mission. And we'd make it a fun time with the kids on a Saturday afternoon, and we would make hundreds of sandwiches. And then I take them that Sunday or Saturday evening to the Saginaw Rescue Mission. So the people there at the rescue mission would have something to eat on Sunday. And that taught our children, that taught me, to share what we have for others. And so it's important to share what you have with others. I do nursing homes every once in a while. I'll do a little mini gospel concert for those at nursing homes. I had one guy, he was sitting in a wheelchair and he just had a grumpy look on his face. After the whole concert, he was just sour look. And I got done and I went up to him and I knelt down and I said, "Sir, I hope you get better real soon." He turned to me and he says, "I hope you do too." I said, "Have you heard my last album?" He said, "I sure hope I have." For those of you who didn't catch that, you'll get that in about 15 minutes. So the guy was a comedian, but you need to share with others. Does this all make sense? So in closing, in everything, give thanks by thinking thankfully, talking thankfully, acting thankfully. Brother Dennis, what does that have to do with revival? It has everything to do with revival. Because this is the month of thanksgiving, the month of thanking God for everything you have. And let me ask you this. If the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18 that we are to give thanks in everything, does that mean to give thanks if we're experiencing mountaintop experiences? Talk to me. Yes. Yeah. Does it mean we ought to give thanks to God when we're going through a valley? Yes. Absolutely. It makes us stronger. Does it mean we ought to give thanks to God when we're going through an illness? Yes. Yeah. There's a reason for it. We don't understand it, but there's a reason for it. Should we thank God for the blessings he's given us? Absolutely. That's a no-brainer. If you want to experience revival, especially in the area of giving thanks, maybe this message I shared tonight, maybe there was something in it that convicted you. Maybe there was something in it that you realized, you know what? My coworker has heard me complaining a lot, when really I'm living a blessed life. I minister in Florida in January and February. I go down there for 7 weeks, 8 weeks. I minister in Florida, suffering for Jesus. You know, suffering. Yeah. I don't like the winter. I'll be honest. I'm testifying. I do not like snow. The older my mother and father-in-law moved down to Florida full time. In Weekiwachi, in north of Tampa, and they live there. And the older I get, the wiser they're becoming. But do you know what? I caught myself, Brother Darrell, complaining about how cold it is already. I haven't seen anything yet. And yet I'm catching myself, you know what? God gives us snow up here. I have a pulse. I took my grandkids downhill in a sled last year, and I had a blast. They had a blast. If I didn't have snow, I wouldn't be able to do that. I catch myself. And if you want to experience revival, especially in the area of Thanksgiving, maybe there's something the Holy Spirit is piercing your heart on right now. Maybe you haven't been acting thankfully. Maybe you haven't been talking, been praising God in front of others like you should. Maybe you haven't been giving of your time or your talent or your treasure like you know you should. But that's what revival is all about, because we get a chance. God is a God of second and third chances. And that's what revival is. You turn from your wicked ways and evil ways, and you can turn back to God. We can start tonight, amen? Carol, are you going to play? If we can just have an invitation song start to be playing. And I'm going to open these altars tonight. And I'm convicted, because there's areas of my life, just ask my wife, she'll tell you, that I seem to be very ungrateful. And that's true. There's times when I am an ungrateful person. And so I'm convicted, and I want to come to the altar, and I want to tell God, "Lord, I'm sorry. I am so blessed. tonight. You are so good to me. You are good to me all the time, God. And that starts my heart towards revival. And so as a piano plays, as if you felt convicted tonight, join me. Join me at the altar and thank God and ask God to forgive us of our ungratefulness. Let's bow our heads in prayer, every head bowed, every eye closed. As the piano starts playing, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, you first must know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can thank Him for what's vitally important. The most important area of your life is your soul. And you can come to God tonight thanking God for dying for you on that cross. You can come tonight asking God to save you of your sins. If that's you tonight, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you need to be thankful for what He's done for you. If you were the only sinner on the face of this earth, Jesus Christ still would have stepped out of eternity and taken your place on that cross. If you would like to be saved, if you would like to have heaven be your home one day, come down this aisle and come see Brother Daryl or myself, and we'll pray with you and we'll show you from God's Word how you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're saved tonight. If you're here tonight and you're saved, but you feel that there's an area that you haven't been grateful to God with, and you feel convicted, join me at this altar. That's what revival is all about. Join me now as the piano plays at the altar.